Father, we worship you. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us to gather here today, and particularly for me, for the privilege you've given me to share your word. Father, I recognize my infirmities and my inadequacies, so I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge and in my preparation, and I ask you for mercy. Help me, Lord. Teach me. Show me. So that, Lord, as I minister this word this morning, let it be a word of life. Give me fresh utterance and unction, so that your word will go forth with power. You will let back your words with power wherever they are heard, Lord, so that, Lord, it will accomplish an internal, eternal work in every heart that hears it, including my own, in the name of Jesus, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds to be more enlightened and flooded with the light of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Let your word come in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, to build us up, so that, Lord God, in this place, Lord, we will be edified in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because as your word goes forth, we thank you for, Lord, ears that are open. Thank you for eyes that see. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, an enlargement that comes to us in this house and in the house of all that hear it, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, help me to be concise. Help me to be precise, redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things, but just those things that you would have me say, in the name of Jesus. And all the glory will go to you, and blessings will come unto us, the sons of men. At this time, Father, I come to Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Right, we're in the book of Colossians, and like we said before, Colossians was written in AD 60 by the Apostle Paul. Actually, Tychicus and Onesimus were the ones that penned it, but it was Paul's words. He was the one that dictated it. And the purpose of this epistle was to correct wrong doctrine that was creeping into the church. Now, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. So anytime when there is wrong doctrine, you find out that God raises his servants to come up and to speak against it. Bible says, not giving them space. No, to speak and to contend for the faith that was delivered from the beginning. Amen. So that we keep the faith pure. So that's important. So that's why he wrote this book. And he wrote it to show that Christ is far superior to religion, philosophy, legalism, and any other error or wrong doctrine in Jesus' name. Amen. That the truth of the doctrine of Christ, you know, far supersedes that, and that Christ himself is the head of all principality and power. So how can you be comparing Christ and principalities? There's no comparison. He made them, you know, he's head over them, and guess what? He spoiled them in hell so that you and I can be head over them. Amen. So really, so you know, it's we that are head over them. You know, he's far above. Amen. So he showed that, you know, and then he also demonstrated through the word, you know, that, you know, God has an eternal purpose for all humankind. Everybody that God created has a destiny in God. Amen. Bible says he had made of one blood all men. You know, so God made all men for one purpose, that they might feel after him, that they might know him. You know, and he was showing that here, you know, that he wants to reproduce Christ in all mankind, both the nature of Christ and the character of Christ. You know, and the way God wants to do this is through a spiritual process where, you know, under set leaders in the church, set apostolic and prophetic leadership in the church, you know, as we sit under them, God gives us light, what we call revelation knowledge, through the word of God. Amen. And is that light, when that light comes on the inside, is the light that God gives you through the word. Amen. No, by the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3. 2 Corinthians, right. But if our gospel be hid, It is he to them that are lost. Next verse. You need to be quick. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see Satan is trying to prevent people from having this light because he knows it is key to the process that God has ordained. Next verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So God is shining this light as we look with open face, with open hearts, when under authority of these said fathers, when they minister the word, if you receive it with all an open heart, then that light shines in your heart. Amen. And when you have that light, you can then act and practice what you learn, you know, and that causes you to grow so that progressively you then become more and more and more like Jesus. Amen. So really, by recognizing and submitting to these spiritual fathers in our hearts, obeying their instructions and cultivating a lifestyle of prayer, particularly praying in the Spirit, we follow them by growth into our destiny. Amen. All right, and our destiny is now involves inheriting initially the borrowed anointing of the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure, you know, which is limited in scope. And then as we, with faithfulness, remain faithful, then we receive the full anointing ourselves. That's actually where we are now. We are waiting for God to pour out the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure upon the fathers, so that as they receive the full anointing, we also tap and hold on to their coattails and tap the borrowed anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in our last lesson, we saw in verse 3. Let's take verse 3. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 3. Let's read it again. Let's read it together. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Okay? And we saw that the first thing Paul did was to give thanks. And we said that thanksgiving is a spontaneous and prominent fruit of mature spiritual leaders. Amen. All right. It naturally comes to give thanks, you know. And we gave the example of our own contemporary example of mommy, you know. I mean, pastor also does it, but mommy is very prominent in my show, you know, to the point where, you know, a little child saw her and said, mommy, grandma modupe, you know, she gone you Emma show modupe, and the girl couldn't find anything to remember that grandma by. But that woman that says modupe, she modupe, amen, man. So it's a spontaneous and prominent fruit. You see it. It's very prominent. Even Jesus in John 11:41, we're not turning there, but he was giving thanks to the Father because the Father heard him. Jesus didn't even take the fact that God was hearing his prayer. He didn't take it for granted. You know, God doesn't have to hear your prayer. But I pray. So what? If he wants to fault that prayer, there are so many places he could have faulted it. If not just for his mercy. And he asked other people to cover everything just so that he can hear that little prayer that you prayed, and then you go there and say, I prayed. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So it's important to be thankful. It's an exercise. It's also a commandment. Amen. You know, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's a commandment. God commands us to be thankful. It's a distinguishing factor from the rest of the world. That's how we will know Christians from unbelievers. When something happens, what is your response? We don't thank God for it, but we thank God in it. Because once we do that, the will of God begins to operate on our behalf through our thanksgiving and shows us the way out. Amen. All right. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 5. It says, in everything, in some things, in a few things, in the things that are comfortable, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. Amen. So it's the will of God concerning me, concerning you. Amen. So that's what God wants us to do. Thanksgiving should flow, and it shows appreciation for God's mercy and God's goodness. Amen. We don't take it for granted. We said thanksgiving flows out of a godly heart that is at peace. Amen. With God. All right. So the more godly you become, that is, the more you receive the light of the Word of God and you practice it, the more you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the more you perfect the love of God, the more you obey God, the more your heart becomes full of the character and the virtues of Christ. Amen. And when you see those virtues in you, you will recognize it's not even you anymore, and you are full of thanksgiving. Amen. So thanksgiving naturally comes out. And we also said this, that thanksgiving is a spiritual force. It's a force. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, Pastor has told us this so many times, they are forces, and they come out of a pure heart that is connected to God through oversight, and that is praying. Amen. So when you are well connected, you find out of your belly will flow that force. So really, when no matter what is going on around you in the air, you can create your own island where you always have constant connection. You're always having service. They won't say no service. You are always on that service. Amen. And so no matter what's going on around you, and we see this is so important because we live in evil days. So it's so important to be connected. Amen. So look at 2 Timothy 3. Verse 2, just to show that I think this truth is quite important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. All right, let's read it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unholy. So we see it. No, unthankful. These are forces. Now, these are the default forces that are in the earth. The Bible says that, no, in Ephesians chapter 2, no, let's just look at it quickly. Ephesians 2, verses 2 to 3, quickly. Thank you. Ephesians 2, thank you. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. So there is a course in this world. According to the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of this. So there is a spirit, or put this way, there is a force. Amen. There is a force that is working in the children of disobedience. So everybody is in the air. As I said, he's the prince of the power. God used those words selected to let you and I know that there is a power in the air. And that power doesn't just exist anyhow. There is a prince that is generating that power in the air. And is enforcing it to ensure that it produces disobedience, so that it will not return to him void. Next verse. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling what? The desires of the flesh and of the... And whereby the children of wrath, even as... So we see that it's a very carefully orchestrated plan. There is a power in the air. There is a spirit sourcing it and enforcing it. It is working through the nature in the flesh. And it's now causing nature in the flesh and in the mind and in the spirit, for those that are not born again. But even if you are born again, you have the nature in the mind and in the flesh. So it's working through that nature to produce desires. It's producing thoughts. And those thoughts are making you disobedient. Thoughts and feelings and desires. So it's working. So it's careful. So it is you and I that can break that force. You have to break the force in the spirit. Break it off. You know, when you break it off with travail under covering of said fathers, then you then confess the word. You begin to generate, you read the word. You put a store in your spirit of the word of God. Then you begin to release that store by confession of the word. So by prayer in the spirit, by praying in tongues, communion prayer, you wash out your soul. You're looking for the mercy of God. In your thoughts, you're releasing that mercy. You begin to attack him in your mind. Whatever he has taken stronghold, you pull it down. Whatever that is not become stronghold yet, but you have agreed your will, you unagree your will. You unlatch. Your will is like a latch. So you latch it where you have put the latch. You open the latch, and when the thought comes up, you blow it away with the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how to be obedient. I recommend that you study overcoming temptation. Okay, on the website, Pastor's Weekly Rema. It's beautiful to walk a practical life of victory at the thought level. Brethren, the battle is in the mind. And once you win that battle, while you are free. So let's go back to what we said. So we cultivate thanksgiving by diligently keeping the law of the spirit of life in Christ, which empowers us to obey God. That's what we just described. And then we now meditate on God's mercy and goodness to us. Don't leave your mind blank. If you are not meditating on God's word, meditate on God's goodness. Look at Psalm 89 verse 1 to 2. Psalm 89 verse. Meditate on how good God is. Don't wait for the time when something happens. Just thank God for where you are. Thank God for what he has done. Thank God for what he is doing. And know that he's taking you somewhere. Amen. Look, let's read it together. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Not for sometimes. Not only when it's convenient. Not only when things are going my way. Forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Okay, to the fourth and fifth generation. Amen. We will see it in Jesus' name. For I have said, this is what you say. Don't say that no, we are like sheep for slaughter. That's not your portion. Say this one. Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Now we said last week, last time we taught, that it means the manifold wisdom of God. It means mercy is built up in the physical heavens. Mercy is also built up in the heavens of our soul. So you can build mercy as a fortress, as a stronghold. And you know, if you walk with Pastor, Lord, have mercy on me. I mean, the diligence you put in, the effort you put in, it's not important. Lord, have mercy on me. Emphasize the mercy. Jesus said, Father, I thank you that thou hearest me. Whereas he prayed, wake up great while before day. Pray all day. Pray, no heal, do miracles. Lord, thank you for mercy. So it's important. Let's magnify God in our hearts. Amen. Don't magnify yourself. Amen. All right, so we now continue today. Let's look out at, let's take verse 3 again. And then we'll go into verse 4 and then we'll begin. Colossians 1:3. So we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Next verse. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Now, all right, let's go back to verse 3. Now, look at that. It's striking again to see that Paul is saying here that praying always for you. True apostolic and prophetic fathers follow the pattern son, who is Jesus Christ, in devotion to a life of continuous intercession. So they're always praying for you. At least they should be praying for you. All right, leaders should be praying for their flock. Amen. That's what the Bible is saying. This is the Bible standard. Okay? So it's important. They always praying for you. And Jesus is our high priest. He ever liveth to do what? Let's look at it. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. I want to see the pattern. Because Jesus is the pattern son. And this is the pattern disciple telling us what the pattern son is doing. And he's now copying the pattern son as a pattern for the fathers to follow. And that is the pattern you and I now follow through the fathers. Amen. Amen. So it's a pattern of the kingdom. Prayer is the business of the
kingdom. Amen. So when you want to go about the Father's business, guess what? Attend prayer meeting. And pray properly. Don't pray sheku sheku prayer. Alright? Alright, look at this. Look at the way Jesus is praying. Say, but this man. It strikes me that he called Jesus a man. He's the only part of the person in the Godhead that can be called a man. He is man and God. He's a God man. And he's trying to make you and I God men. Or men God. Because we came from the other side. We are men God. He is a God man. Amen. Alright, so that's God and Sons Incorporated. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Next verse. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The way God can save you and I, the way he is saving you and I from evil, from sin, is by intercession. So intercession is absolutely necessary. It's an absolute necessity for you and I. Amen. And if you notice, you know, Paul is saying this, the high priestly ministry of Christ over us is actually executed through apostolic leadership. So it is, Paul is praying for them, but it is Jesus praying for them through Paul's prayers. Amen. So that is what's making their own prayer work. So next time, just be thanking God for the mercy of God. And don't focus too much on your prayer. I mean, you need to pray. You need to learn to pray. It's very important. But don't depend on what you do. Put your dependence on the mercy and the grace of God to act on what you're doing. Amen. And to make what you're doing sufficient. Because in its own self, it is not sufficient. It takes grace to multiply it for it to be sufficient. And that grace is coming not from the air, not from any good thing that you did. It's coming from those in authority over you. So your attitude to them is critical. Amen. Very important. So we see this concept of what the Bible calls, well, what we call covering. It's what we have been taught in this house, covering, that this is the power of God that is coming through mature kings and princes. Okay, so it's the power of the King of Kings, but it's now channeled through spiritual kings. Okay, to get to you, to make you also and I a king. Amen. And notice that it comes to those who come unto God by them. So every set leader has an allotted part. He has a measure of rule of his covering. It's very important. So his covering is for those who deliberately put themselves under that covering. It's very important. It's not just generally. God has the whole system organized, and it's not based on church or branches. Forget about that. It's a spiritual arrangement that is using through kings and princes. Go to Revelation. Bible talks about the angel over the church at Ephesus. So you have candlesticks. No, and you have those candlesticks are not little churches, they are geographical locations. So you have people who God has given this area, geographical location, country, continent, continents under their rule because they have been found faithful. It's very important that we understand that. Look at Isaiah 32, verse 1 to 5. Isaiah 32, quickly, you need to move quickly. Behold, he's showing you a mystery. That's why he says, behold. Because you're not going to believe what's about to say. It's like a verily, verily. It's an Old Testament verily, verily. It says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, not in money. How is he reigning? In righteousness. And princes shall rule in justice. It's not in how many branches. It is in spiritual judgment. Does he have the mind of Christ? Does he know what God is saying? He's saying, when God is saying, do this now, is he saying peace and safety? It's very important. Next verse. and a man. You won't believe that. One man, yes, one man. One man shall be what? As a hiding place from the wind, as a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Next verse. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears that hear shall hearken. Next verse. And the heart also of the rash shall what? Under covering. Zacchaeus. The heart of the rash. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus understood that. Sir, I restore fourfold. And nobody told him. Influence. Is that not better than saying this and that? It's just silent influence. Remember in the old, we have the stories that I tell in the old, about Father Nash. You know, Charles Finney and Father Nash. You know, when they come to town, you know, Father Nash will go ahead like 1 or 2 weeks ahead, fast and pray. And, you know, they change the configuration of the heavens over the town. So by the time Charles Finney comes to preach, people start crying. People that are in the pub, they're not in church, oh. They are in the pub. One bad room. They just start crying. And repent that I'm a sinner. And looking for somebody to pray for them so that they can be saved. That's revival. It's not how many people you put on that one crusade. How will you find the space? He's the one by the Spirit. Just influence people's hearts, people's minds, and pull down strongholds, cast down the mind. But your own must be pulled down first for the power to be able to walk through you. Amen. Or how can you pull down when you yourself have not pulled down? Our portion will not be like seven sons of Sceva. So we must pull down in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about covering where the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge. The tongue of the stammer shall be ready to speak plainly. See the spiritual influence of covering. You can see there the metaphors in verse 2 show protection and nourishment. So we see that, you know, that covering is spiritual power that comes to provide protection from destruction. Satanic destruction, the satanic tempests, you know, covered from tempests, you know, rivers of water in a dry place. So, in a place where there is dryness, it brings nourishment. It brings wetness. It brings fruitfulness. Amen. And as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, it brings encouragement. It brings comfort. It brings everything. It brings the fullness of the complement of the fruit of the Spirit. It brings light. It brings revelation. Amen. So that you and I can grow to be who God wants us to be. Brethren, we can't do it by our own prayers. Neither can we by our own prayers alone. Neither can we do it by just being under the ministry of teachers and pastors. Their ministry is very important. They give us understanding. They show us wisdom. And they lay a strong foundation. They lay our foundation. But the apostles and prophets now come to establish that foundation. And then take it up to the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Amen. So now notice that Paul did not necessarily get the Colossians born again. Verse 4. When he heard of their faith and love. The Bible says faith worketh by love. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. Thank you. Right. For in Jesus Christ. Are you not reading with me? For in Jesus Christ. Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So, but what? Faith which worketh by love. The proof of true faith is love. When you are walking in love, it is evidence that your faith is producing. Amen. The love of God. Amen. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Amen. So we see those nine fruits of Spirit, they are love. Bible calls it love in 1 Corinthians 13. Okay. So love is the fruit that shows that your faith is actually working. Now I know we use our faith for healing, we use our faith for prosperity. Those are foundational principles where we exercise our faith, but that is not the purpose. That's not the end of our faith. The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls, which is the love of God. Amen. To put the love of God in your soul. Amen. And when Paul just heard that there were Christians in Colossae and they were walking in faith and you could see the love of God in their lives, he started praying for them. Because that's the business of the kingdom. Because, you know, when people are start to grow like that, it's important for fathers to step in, because, you know, that for the God wants to protect those people. Because once you start doing that, you become a target for the devil. And then, of course, the Father also wants us to bring forth more fruit. In fact, it's the Father's, our destiny is to bring forth much fruit. So when you start bringing some fruit, you attract attention on both sides. One side, hey, you must stop bringing forth fruit. The other side is trying to make sure you bring forth even more fruit. So that's the will of God. So it's important for us to have that understanding, you know, and that's why he started praying. And you can see that from that, true fathers seek the interest of the kingdom of God. They are not interested in building man-made empires. Amen. God is not interested in man-made empires. And if you see true leaders in the church, they have only one interest. I had pastor say this so many times. Once I say it, you will know it. No permanent friends. No permanent enemies. Only permanent interest. The interest of the kingdom. I've had that since 20 years ago. I didn't just start hearing it now. 25, 26, 27, 28 years since I came. I've learned that and I've experienced it. One day, Kay, how are you? Why did you do that nonsense? The next day, no permanent friends. No. So if you want to be on the Kay side, then just do good. Choose righteousness. Amen. Choose the good part. But don't run away. Come close. So that you can be corrected. Because correction is the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Not a way, the way of life. There is no way you're going to be able to get the fullness of Christ if you don't get corrected. You must be living in the world of make-believe. I mean, if natural parents correct us, even the Bible says that we have fathers after the flesh that corrected us. And their own correction was for physical things. How much more? Let's look at it. Hebrews 12. They want us to be partakers of their own righteousness. It's so important that we understand that. Okay. Well, I'm moving on. You're not quick enough. All right. Okay. So, right. So, now, the other thing I want to say is that Jesus, that fathers, you know, you can see even Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's important to know what is important in the kingdom. Amen. Matthew 5 verse 3. Lord have mercy. You have life in Jesus' name. You need to be quick. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the... Now go back to verse 2, please. Thank you. And he opened, this is Jesus now. Who is talking? Just to make sure, who is talking? Jesus. Right, we're on the same page. So he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, next verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the world calling people like this blessed? That's not the way of the world, though. In the world, is what you have that makes you blessed. How often you can go, how many possessions you have, how many, you know, children you have, you know, how many cars and things, how many connections, power, influence that you have. But when you are blessed, though, all unblessed. That's the world standard. This is God's standard. This is what God calls blessed. But he says people that are poor in spirit, that have no confidence in themselves, that their confidence and their dependence is on God. Bible says, this is the kingdom of heaven. Not the people that have big, big things or that have many possessions. This is what God wants us to copy and imitate. Next verse. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be. They that mourn. Mourn. What do you mean by mourn there? They that mourn for righteousness. That is, they want to see righteousness in the will of God. Put it that way. They want to see the will of God come on the earth. They're not looking for, I want to be the best doctor there is. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But how does that affect the kingdom and the purpose of God? That is key. So these people that put the purpose of God as their main priority, guess what? Anything they do is blessed. Because they are blessed. That motivation. You see, I want to see something. That the motive and the purpose of the fathers is what makes them blessed. And it's what's going to make you and I blessed. Your motive is not necessarily what you do. That's the truth. You can do anything. Anything you do, God will bless it. If that motive and that purpose is there. Next verse. Blessed are they are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Imagine that. Look at who God wants to give the earth. The people whose wills are flexible to the will of God. Meek. Not bowing down and not looking at people in the face. That's not meekness. Meekness is the flexibility of your will to the will of God. 1 minute, Hezekiah, put your house in order, you are going to die. Next minute, in the courtyard, go back. Tell my servant Hezekiah, he has 15 more years. Whichever way. No permanent interest. Only the interest of the kingdom. Not getting personal. Only the interest of the kingdom. Amen. That's meek. Next verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Brethren, are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? If you do, guess what? You will be filled and then you will be blessed. Double portion. This is the real double portion. Not only will he fill you with righteousness, then he will bless you on top. Deuteronomy 28, you know, if thou shalt do what? Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to do all of his commandments, these blessings shall come on you. Blessed. He's telling you the same message, Deuteronomy, is the same message here. It hasn't changed. But we have misplaced the standards. And the fathers are telling us that, no, that's not the correct standard. This is the correct standard. Next verse. Blessed are they that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. May you find mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not of him that willeth, oh. It's not, you know. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Next verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? God wants us to prioritize seeing God above every other thing. Seeing God. Make your heart pure. Pure motive. Next verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. So, making peace. Brethren, do we walk in peace? It's important. These are important things. If you want to be blessed, God's not going to bless us in a vacuum. These blessings are, in Deuteronomy says, if thou shalt, but they're conditional. It's also then it's conditional. If you do this, you are blessed. So let's start working to, and we can see this in our fathers. I can say I see it very clearly. I see them poor in spirit. I've been with them for 1997? It's going to be 30 years in 2 years' time. 28 years. 87, I beg your pardon. 87. Yeah. So, I mean, so 27, going 28 years. I have seen them poor in spirit. I have seen them meek. We have seen the fruit of it over the years. It's so important. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. It's not everywhere, oh. Is not everywhere. So we're going to declare upon our spiritual parents, Pastor Amon, this is your portion in Jesus' name. We say that yours is the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name. We say you shall be comforted. You and your seed. We declare that you will inherit the earth. The scripture that says it. If they fulfill the condition, let us declare the blessing over them. Amen. And when it comes, it will storm from the end. It will flow down to you and I by reason of, yeah, let's say it together. Let's say it together. Let's say that. Say, Pastor Mommy, say, you are blessed. You shall be filled. Pastor and Mommy, you are blessed. You shall obtain mercy. You and your seed and your CC. Say, Pastor and Mommy, because you are pure in heart, you see God face to face in Jesus' name. We say, Pastor and Mommy, because you are peacemakers looking for peace, you shall be called and celebrated as the sons of God in Jesus' name. And we say, though you be persecuted for righteousness' sake, yours is the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. See, if somebody is worthy of something, you cannot stop them. You cannot stand in their way. Just back up, line up, and join. And you will be count, your, it will be counted to you for righteousness. Amen. All right. So I just want to, this Sunday morning, I want us to tap into blessing, so that we align ourselves properly. All right. Let's go on. Amen. But I saw that I'm a gift God. Okay. And he therefore extended covering to them. That's where it was. And now I just want to say this so that we can write it down. Covering ensures absolute divine protection, so that we're not destroyed by satanic attacks. It does what's number one thing that it does. Number two thing is it supplements spiritual nourishment. Now it will not stand for your own. It won't substitute. Thank you, sir. It will not substitute for your own personal relationship with God, your own personal prayers, but it definitely will supplement it, because on your own prayers will not be enough. Your own diligence will not be enough. Amen. All right. And then it also empowers us to overcome sin and grow up into Christ. Amen. All right. So that your best gradually improves and increases and becomes the best. Amen. All right, so that it does all those three things. And if you look at it from Ephesians 4, you know, really, we are not, without them, when it comes to perfection, you're not going anywhere. You know, some people say that you should not go to church. Some people say you can pray at home. It's nonsense. Wrong doctrine. It's not in the word of God. The Bible says that God has set some in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Without them, we're not getting there. Simple and short. So it's important for us. I need to say that, because we hear all sorts of things all over the place, and the church is the pillar and ground of all truth. Let's look at Acts 27, and let's see covering work practically. This is a story of Paul. Mommy has preached this part. Pastor Wogat was preaching. Mommy was preaching. I'm not sure. I preached this somewhere before, but I remember Mommy's own clearly as a prophetic word where she preached from Acts 27. Let's look at it, verse 10. Let's start from verse 10. See, they were going on the boat, you know the story, and Paul told them at the beginning. And when apostolic leaders are talking, brethren, we need to hear. You know, there's a spiritual realm, there's the intellectual realm, and there's the physical realm. When they're talking in the spiritual realm. The Bible says, the Son of God, which is in heaven. He's here with you on earth, but he's also in heaven. So he's knowing what's going on in the heavens. So when he's talking, he's not talking based on physical things alone. We'll see that more as we go on. And he said, unto them, sirs, I perceive, you're not reading with me, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Next verse. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. See, many times when they talk, it's important, even when you don't see anything, hold on to it. Take it back. Check it. Because it's very important. No, don't lean on, I've done this, but you don't understand. I'm good at this. This is what I like. This is what I enjoy. the master of the ship, the owner of the ship, they were expert sailors. They were very experienced, but he was telling them, don't worry, we'll have it under control. Don't worry. All right. Next, let's go to verse 14. We're going to jump quickly to verse 14. But not long after, enough for them to set out. No, Satan waits for you to go to a point of no return. You set out and you commit yourself. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. It's always important to hearken unto instruction and to the word of the apostles and the prophets. Amen. See, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclidon. The one that they have not seen before. You know, in Nigeria, we had our tempestuous wind at one time. And that's how we know true leaders, oh. True leaders. I can remember 1993. When there was, a tempestuous, that was Nigeria's Euroclidon. And we are going to divide. And we are going to this. And to your tents, O Israel. People are leaving from the north, moving their whole families, moving all their possessions, selling things off. Mommy stood here. Everybody was praying. Mommy stood there and declared the word. I can't forget that word. Whose handmaiden are you? She declared that word. Nigeria will not break up. Right in the middle of the storm. But that is the quality and the caliber of the leadership that God has given us. That see in the realm of the spirit. Even leaders in the church were saying yes. That we are going to divide. People are giving all sorts of spurious, you know, empty prophecies. Boasting themselves of false gifts. Clouds without rain. Anyway, another matter for another day. Let's move on. Verse 18. Let's jump to verse 18. Thank you. And we've been exceedingly tossed with the tempest the next day. So it's going on now for 2 days. They lightened the ship. Next verse. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So they're doing everything they can do. Now, this is all the experience and the expertise of the sailors at work. All right, we've done this before. Just 3 days. Okay, next verse. And when neither sun nor stars in how many days? Many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They got to the end of their knowledge. They got to the end of their experience. Brethren, at the end of the day, it's the spiritual that will control everything. The spiritual controls everything. So it's important to always live in the spiritual. Don't live in the intellectual and visit the spiritual. We must live in the spiritual. Amen. And from there, you know, we then operate the intellectual and the physical. You know, Pastor preached the word many, many years ago. It's a weekly reminder to trees of wisdom and knowledge. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Those two trees. You know, they're two different things. You know, there's a huge difference between them. Next verse. They got to the end of that. Now, by this time, they knew they were in trouble. Many days. They knew they were in trouble. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. But to show you that I'm not personal. And to have gained this harm and loss." Next verse. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." At the beginning, he said that there was damage both to the ship and of their lives. But by the intercession, covering of the apostles and the prophets, all right, he limited damage control. You know, these are people that have power with God. What was supposed to be outright destruction, they said, "No," stood in the gap. "Come and ask me." The day the devil came against my family, I was walking, Jejeli. I looked at my daughter, I prayed for my son, I sent them off to school. I didn't know Jack. I was working. And the enemy came in like a flood. And my baby, I didn't even know that. I heard it afterward that, you know, she just became blue, you know, and they were carrying her. I can't even picture it. I can't imagine it. You know, sometimes the enemy, he doesn't play fair.
He doesn't play fair. He say, you want to do this now? You want to do it? Okay, you will see. But God is stronger than him. God is bigger than him. God is wiser than him. Provided we are under covering. So they rushed her to UCH. No, I'm getting the story wrong. They called mommy. Wisdom. Thank God they called mommy. God bless you, Auntie Kechi. God bless you, Auntie Ore. They didn't rush out to hospital. They didn't call me. They didn't call me. What would I have done? I wasn't even there. Ah, so they called mommy. Mommy drove over there, carried her in her hand. Ordinarily, those things don't last for that long. Something that has to do with the respiratory. It's touch and go. How long will it take to be at Songo, get to junior school, go to drive through that traffic at Boja Market, you know, get to junior school, pick up the child, go to UCH. How many minutes is that? It's mercy. It's life. All the way. And when did we need medical science? Yes. But the spiritual must be in position. That was the mistake of these people. You know, they thought that we can do everything. Doctors, in many clinics, you say, we care. God heals. Have you seen it before? They've come to understand that they don't have the power of life and death. God is the one that gives life. And he sustains it. We heard of a miracle one day. So a pastor sent something to us. There was a miracle. There was an accident. And there were people who were dying. Some people were dead. There was a man whose eyes, a victim whose eyes had popped out, you know, and had dropped onto the cheek. And the brethren gathered round. One lady, who was a Christian, gathered around and told the other people to just gather around. And they started speaking life. And the eye went back and popped in. And people woke up. With injury. Brethren, that is the power of eternal life. Eternal life. Brethren, we have not seen anything yet. Eyes growing out. Limbs growing out. It's because we haven't seen it before. But still, we must have an appetite for the glory. We must have an appetite for the glory. And create that picture in our minds. So this one, they were living physically, they were living naturally. So, no, they made a mistake. But the apostle stepped in and said, Father, have mercy. And limited the damage. Amen. Alright, so we go on to the next verse quickly. For there stood by me, this night, the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. Next verse. Saying, fear not, Paul. He didn't talk to anybody else in the ship. Fear not who? Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Because Paul was in the will of God. It cannot be that the prophet perish. It cannot be out of Jerusalem. So no way. He was in the will of God. He was able, so he had to go to and says, Lord God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Their lives were literally in Paul's hands. Amen. Brethren, your life is in God's hands. But you must understand that your life is also in the hands of your spiritual parents. Somebody preached it. The other day I was saying, if a wife makes a vow, a husband can cancel it. If a daughter makes a vow, a father can cancel it. Literally, your life is in their hand. So it's important for us to understand that there is a structure, there is a government, there is a system, and you best take advantage of it to our advantage. Amen. Yes, let it work for you, not against you. That's why we're preaching it. Amen. Next verse. Quickly. Wow. Next verse. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Go to the next verse. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain land. Even God showed him the end of it. That we are going to be cast upon an island.
That is covering. Clear, unambiguous direction of the will of God. Amen. In the midst of darkness. Alright? Alright, let's jump to verse 31 quickly now. We have to move on. Alright? Right? Paul said to the centurion, okay, fine. Right, okay. Well, give me verse 28 just to show you. Even though he had given that word, it was still dark. Okay? Yes. Alright? And he sounded and found 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found 15 fathoms. Next verse. Thank you. And then fearing lest we should come upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Yes. Uh-huh. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they laid down, they thought that, the Bible says at midnight, the thing was still going on. There was still tempest. You know, but stay with the word. Don't look for a sign that is it coming. Just stay with the word. Process that word. Keep, you know, meditate on it. Confess it. Believe it. Amen. These men were trying to do sharp. They were trying to be fast. But Paul to them, except these abide in the ship. No. Otherwise, they'll be, if they don't stay under covering. See, there are some things we do. We don't know that we are going away from covering. For them, it was like, oh, we're almost near the land. Let's just. But God has already decreed that, look, what Satan planned is that nobody can survive. That was what Satan planned. Now, covering stepped in, and God has said, okay, fine, all that are in the ship. All right, now you want to take an action, and you don't know the spiritual implications of that action. That's why it is good to submit. It is good to ask. Of course, you can travel anywhere you want to go. You are of age. But, I understand that. You are of age. But you need to ask. That's why we ask. We ask so that we are sure that we are in the will of God. Amen. Very important. Okay? Right? Look at verse 33 to 37. Okay? So don't stay with signs and looking for signs. Stay with the word of God. Okay? And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat and said, this day is the 14th day. Amen, O Jehovah. That you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. He started fasting before the storm. They started fasting when the storm came. It was late. So by the time it was over, he was telling them, look, let's eat. Let's eat. Everyone like, why don't we fast when we are supposed to fast? When there is no storm, when there is no problem, why don't we fast? When there is a problem, you will fast. They fasted when there was a problem. What looked impossible, they gave it up. And now they were doing it. They were doing 14 days. Biri biri. And they say, come and fast. They say, I can't do it. I can't survive. But you will survive in Jesus' name. You can do it. Amen. Don't wait for circumstances to force you. Do it of your own free will. That's when it has a reward. And guess what? That is when it preempts what Satan wants to do. Amen. Because that's what the apostle did. Amen. Now, these men were unbelievers, but we see the effect of covering in their lives. How much more we as children of God? They were not positive. We are under loving parents in this house. Amen. Let's give our parents a super hand. Amen. We are under them. So how much more effective is the covering? But it's only as effective as we submit our hearts to it. Amen. It's only as effective as we obey the instructions. Amen. Now looking at nourishment, look at Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. Because that's important. Luke 16, 10 to 12. Thank you. Now, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least, is unjust also in much. Next verse. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Next verse. Now, this is my punchline. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your
own. Amen. Now, this is very important because, you know, while we pray and it's important for us to have our personal relationship with God, it is also quite important to understand that your faithfulness in the obedience to the instructions of those in authority over you is going to determine how your own personal relationship with God will evolve and how it will develop. Amen. And we see this in Samuel, okay, from 1 Samuel 2. You can see that in the middle of a decadent church, all right, because the children of Israel was the church at that time. So Israel was the church, and Samuel was, we know the story, his mother weaned him and handed him over to Eli. So Eli's sons, Bible says they were sons of Belial. They were not obedient children. When they were going to burn the fat belongs to God. When you want to make sacrifices, they remove the fat. The fat belongs to God. Before they separate it and burn the fat, you know, say, give me with the fork, three prongs. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Three prongs. You want to take the meat and say, wait, you can take as much as you want after we have burnt the fat. But no, they arrogated God's position to themselves. And we see that in the church now. Men taking God's place. Taking God's place, literally. Ascribing to themselves what they should ascribe to God. They have no fear. That's what the sons of Eli were doing. And guess what? Their father was just like them. Now, he corrected them. I know he corrected them. But the question is, why wasn't he able to exercise covering over them? Why wasn't he able to discipline them? He should have disciplined them. He should have. Even if they were bigger than him, if he went to God and he suspended them from the priesthood, who would tell them that no? He should have suspended. If they didn't agree, even if they were doing what they were doing, if he knelt down and prayed and had a relationship with God, wouldn't God have dealt with them? So it was his own weakness, lack of submission, lack of diligence, his own laziness and rebellion that made those boys what they were. And he allowed them to be what they were. But right in the middle of that nonsense, Samuel was there. Now ask me, how was Samuel surviving? How was, Bible says, and Samuel grew. And Samuel grew. And the more those boys did, the more Samuel grew. How can somebody be in the middle of evil and yet be growing and other people are getting worse? Heart. Samuel's heart towards Eli was open and towards God. Towards God and towards Eli. So that even though Eli was backsliding, to that degree, there was still some measure of life that was flowing. And Samuel was diligent. That little life he got, he used it effectively and maximally, and he was growing. Amen. Amen. And that's and that, brethren, that is a lesson for us. Because, you know, he was in that. He was in a pernicious. Pernicious just means dry. He was in a dry season, yet he was flourishing in the land of famine. How is it? It's our hearts. Heart is key, brethren, for us to understand. So, if you look at you and I, our condition is far better than Samuel's. Hello, you have oversight that are robust spiritually. God has enlarged their capacity. They have deep spiritual wisdom. Amen. We have no reason not to grow fast. We need to quicken your pace. We need to hasten our pace and make sure that we're growing. Amen. And I want to also say this, you know, because there's some people who are living in a dry system where they know that, you know, there's something wrong with what's going on. The Bible says, come out of her. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14. Thank you. It says, be not unequally yoked
together with unbelievers? For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness? Yeah, at one level he's talking about people, and another level he's talking about things. Things that represent darkness. Bible talks about the works of darkness. The works of the flesh are plain. Okay? So, the Bible's talking, we need to put these things away. Next verse. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part had he that believeth with an infidel? Next verse. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. See, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Next verse. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you are in a system that is wrong, come out of her. If you are in a good system, touch not the unclean thing, and God will receive you. And Bible says, I will be, next verse, last verse, says, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. That's our portion in Jesus' name. Come out of her. The little foxes that spoil the vine, the little idols, little things, you know, presumption. To you, it's a little thing. To God, it's a big thing. You know, hypocrisy. It's a little thing. But God is a big thing. So but God wants us to deal with these things and remove those things on the inside. It was those things that were letting Eli's light go dim. And you know, the light in Eli was the light that was, it was from through Eli that God was sustaining the light in the temple. So as Eli's light was going dim, Bible says his eyes were dim, the light in the temple was going out. It's a connection between the angel and the candlestick. The angel and the candlestick. So it's important. So when we live in a church, when we are in a church where there is light, we have to give glory to God and appreciate the oversight over the house. Amen. Because there's something they're doing to, hey, sir? Yes, there's something they're doing to provide the light. You now take advantage of that light to process it and walk in it. Amen. It's very important. And we see that. We see that because you know when you are in that system, then you know God can give you all the nourishment that you need from your personal prayer life, and then from what they're doing, everything complements and works together so you can then grow as quickly as possible. Brethren, we need to grow quicker, as quick as possible, No, press on, move on. Push on. You know, it's important to move on. I hear that. No, there's that thing. God wants us to move on. And no, don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. Let's look inward. You know, let's look inward and let's begin to deal with those things. Self-judgment, self-distrust, self-denial. Those three. You know, self-judgment, judge yourself. Then don't trust yourself. Trust the mercy and the grace of God to help you to be faithful. And then deny yourself. Because the Bible says if you don't deny yourself, you can't follow. Amen. Alright. So we see that. And that's how we see that nourishment operating in Samuel's life. You know, helping him to grow. And we see that in our own experience, we also can grow quickly. Now, how do we then partake of covering? Very quickly, we recognize those in authority. How do you recognize them? Let's look at, I read this in Pastor's Weekly Rema, and I think it's beautiful. You know, it says it very, very simply. Look at Luke 6:45. There is deep, how do you know? The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. But what fruit is it talking about? Fruit, yes, character, but it's also fruit of deep revelation. It's the revelation that they're working in, that they're preaching, that is causing them to develop that character. So the revelation is producing the character in their lives, and it will produce that same character of God in your life. Amen. Let's look at it. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. When you hear deep revelation, wisdom of the word of God, don't take it for granted. Go over it. Study it. Meditate upon it. It will make you grow. There is reading, there is studying. They're not the same. And studying is what makes you grow. If you want to grow, of course you need to pray, have a lifestyle of prayer, but studying makes you grow. Don't take the word, because I see that, you know, and even I'm learning not to be guilty of that. I'm not yet there yet, but I'm working on it, because I recognize that you can take things for granted. You hear like three, four anointed words every week. Brethren, every week, what are we doing with it? Unto whom much is given, much is required. We need to go over these things, read them, and when you do, you will see a remarkable transformation in your heart. So you recognize those in authority, and you esteem them highly in love for their works. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, talks there, says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. It takes work to get that truth out. It takes work. Amen. It's very important. All right. And if you are not in a system that has this kind of leadership, come out of that Babylonian system so that you can submit to fathers in Zion. Amen. Number two is to practice that wisdom that they have taught. No, that wisdom. Principally, two key things. Praying in the spirit, in tongues and with travail. The principles we need to learn and practice. Ephesians 6:18. That's an important scripture. And then Jude 20:21, praying in tongues, praying with travail, very important. You know, also Romans 8:26-29. And then confession of the word at least once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. And then in every temptation with our thoughts, you know, acknowledging God for mercy. You know, that is how we actually, you know, practice the things that we hear. Amen. There is a process. You can hear and not do. You will assume you are doing. You, because you want to do. But there is a process. Bible says, you know, the pastor has taught us so many times. You know, Bible says, you know, you keep the word in your heart and in your mouth. Bible says, yes, the word is nigh thee that thou mayest do it. Where? In thy heart and in thy mouth. So you have to believe it in your heart. You have to confess it with your mouth. And you have to think it with your thoughts. It's important. But you can. There's a way to synergize and do everything together. You know, we have confessions we have to do. So those things are important. We start doing them and practicing them. And then you see yourself growing. Amen. And then, of course, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, we honor the Lord with our tithe and offering. So we honor them. Galatians 6:6 says, let them that are taught in the word communicate. And the pastor said, doesn't mean say hello or send text message. All right, he's talking about giving. All right, giving. And you, when you do that, Bible says, when you honor the Lord with somebody, it says your vats will burst, your presses will burst with new wine. Amen. That's fresh revelation. So you now begin to have revelation, and you now grow in that revelation. You practice what the revelation God gives you, and then before you know it, you become a prince. On the way to becoming a king. Amen. Let us pray. God is talking to us this morning. Recognizing true leadership in the church. Those that are really blessed. And following the example. Though we live like Samuel in a decadent system, God is changing it. He's changing the priesthood from Eli to Samuel, and the kingship from Saul to David. Stop looking around. Start looking at the word that has been given to you, obeying the instructions, so that the word will build you up and give you an inheritance
among them that are sanctified. That is the purpose as you follow set leadership in the church. Yes, you have your relationship with God, but your relationship with God will grow and will improve as you submit to those in authority and as you obey their instructions. There's no substitute for you for what you need to do, but they will complement it. And that complement is critical. Check your heart. Honor them. Love them. Serve them. As you do it, you are doing it as unto the Lord. And if you are in a system, you need to make a decision. In Samuel's time, there was no option. In your time, there are other options. Come out of her and be separate. Let us talk to God. Determined to grow. Quickly. Let's take this song as we now pray. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master. Shall not fear the battle, since thou art by my side. No wander from the pathway, since thou will be hear thee speaking. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in access clear and still above the storms of passion, the reassure me to hasten all control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou God. Thy footmarks. Oh, let me see thy footmarks and in them plant my own, my hope to follow dearly is in strength alone. Oh, guide me. put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the vital importance of my spiritual growth. I ask you, Lord, for fresh mercy, to be faithful, to recognize my spiritual parents by the fruit of deep revelation and by the fruit of the character of God in them, and to esteem them very highly in my heart. Help me to be faithful to copy them, obey promptly and diligently their instructions, especially praying in the spirit in tongues with travail, speaking your word frequently, once every 6 hours, to overcome temptations in my thoughts. Help me honor them in giving my tithes and my offerings promptly, completely, and regularly, so I will contribute to the unity of the Spirit in this house that will usher in your glory upon our fathers, even these your sons, in whom you are well pleased. And help me to receive the borrowed anointing under their covering, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.